It's good to see everybody. Everybody thaw out, got thawed out. You're glad that the sunshine came back out. How many of you had something really cool happen during the hard snowstorm, though? How many of you had some really neat things happen? Not very many of you, huh? Okay, you're glad to be out. I heard a lot of good stories about people helping people, getting out and doing things, and just seeing really cool the body of Christ be the body of Christ, taking generators over to people, taking water and stuff like that. I had something kind of cool happen. Well, my water went out. Actually, you know, after they turned the water back on, my shower went out. And my wife's leaving the next day. She needs to take a shower. We got to turn the water off. So I'm at Lowe's for the second time. I'm about 8:30 at night. I'm looking for this part, and they don't have it. They don't have this part. I've never seen this part. I've never taken the insides of the shower apart, you know, the nozzle. And so I'm looking for this part. Well, before I leave, I see this guy that's got a Texas Tech hat on. I'm from Lubbock, Red Raiders. Any Red Raiders out there? All right. So I said, oh, go Tech. And he pulls his mask down, and he goes, Mike Brock. And I went, I said his name, I'm not going to say his name here. And he said, I grew up with this guy in Lubbock. Went to elementary school, went to high school, junior high with him. He says, what are you doing here? I said, I'm looking for this part, and Lowe's didn't have this part. Willie, I ran into Willie there. He couldn't help me find the part. Yeah, then I ran into Ray, and he couldn't help me find the part. Two guys go to the church, and he looks at the part, literally, I'm not making sense, he looks at this part, and he says, my girlfriend has two of these. I said, what? She's got two of these. I said, where does she live? He goes, like, 5 minutes from here. We went over, she got the part to fix it. He did charge me $30 for it. So I was like, now I remember why I don't hang around this guy anymore. But got the shower fixed, got my wife, you know, off on the her trip. She's in Florida right now, West Palm Beach. She couldn't be here while I'm preaching. She's basking in the sun. But I do want to say just a thank you to Bob and Tammy for their great ministry. We came to this church about 3 years ago, and we moved up to Leanna, and we're looking for a church. And really why we chose Generations was just for Pastor Bob and Tammy. I mean, great worship and the people here, awesome, but we wanted somebody that was really stuck to biblical values. And when the pressure, like the pressure of our politics and the things that have been coming up and COVID and all that, you're going to find out who believes what they believe. And they've stuck to it. Let's give them a big hand because they've stuck to it. And then the second thing that was just kind of a blessing is We wanted somebody that would believed in the move of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and would let God move when God wants to move, and we've seen that. And this Wednesday is the first Wednesday of the month is worship and ministry time. I really want to encourage you to come. How many of you were there last time? It was really like a revival-type setting. It's really exciting, so I really want to invite you to do that. And just another shout-out to the worship team. They just... nobody works harder than the worship team and the sound team, I can tell you that. So, but just Pastor Jacqueline, who's not here today, but she just has this world-class voice. I'm just, you know, I hear her sing. Like she could be singing, you know, on Broadway or somewhere, and she's here worshiping with us. So it's just awesome to see. So imagine for a second you're in your car, you're driving down 183, you're headed to work as usual, and your car starts sputtering out. And all of a sudden, these thoughts start going through your mind. You know, what's wrong? Oh, no, I think maybe a blown engine. Your car slows down to 50, slows down to 40. You hit 30 miles an hour. People are honking at you. You're scooting over to the right. They're waving at you, telling you you're number one in their life, you know. And you're thinking, what am I going to do? I mean, you start praying. You see a sign that says auto shop. So you coast in there. You're thinking, I don't know this guy. And how many of you know all auto mechanics can be trusted, right? So you pull in there, and you're like, I've never seen this guy before, but I don't know what to do. And he walks up to you, and he says, what's the problem? You say, my car just cut out. You know, I bought this car a couple of years ago, paid good money for it. I don't know what the deal is. He says, pop your hood. So he pops the hood, And he's sitting there looking under your hood, and you just got your hand on your steering wheel, and you're like, I didn't check the oil. You know, my dad always taught me to check the oil. Don't ever let a car run out of oil. Or maybe I didn't have the antifreeze in, and during this freeze, it froze up and it cracked my block. You're thinking, I don't have money for a new car. I can't afford a new engine. And he comes back to the window, and he says, I got good news for you. He said, it was just a wire that was disconnected. Your distributor cap got loose, and it's just a wire that connected. And I connected it. You should be good to go. He says, God bless you. And it doesn't charge you, and you get in your car, and you take off, and your car's running like never before. Well, this is kind of the word that I felt like the Lord gave me for you today, is that some of you are coming in here on fumes. Some of you are thinking, what's wrong with my engine? What's wrong with my spiritual life? What's wrong with my spiritual engine? And we're hearing Pastor Bob talk to us about each one, reach one, and how God's moving, and God's wanting us to fulfill the great commandment, the great commission. And you're thinking to yourself, man, I'm doing good just to make it to church, right? I'm doing good to stay married to this jerk I'm married to. I'm doing good to stay working at this job that I hate. You know, and I'm supposed to be a light. I'm supposed to fulfill the great commandment and the great commission and love people. So here's the good news for you. It probably doesn't have to do with you doing more. It has to do with you receiving the full extent of His love. This was a word that God spoke to me about 3 years ago, and it really changed my life. And I really want you to be open to God looking under your hood this morning and seeing if there's maybe a couple of wires that are crossed. Maybe something's come loose. And the good news is, it's not about you doing more. Because you will do more. You will fulfill the great commandment. You will fulfill the great commission. You've got to receive the full extent of His love. So pray with me as you will. And as you do that, I just want you to just kind of imagine just opening up your hood and just saying, God, check it out. You know, what's wrong? Maybe I got some wires crossed. Lord, we just pray that you would guide us this morning and just open up our hood, look at our engine. Lord, just show us where we got off, Lord. It's so easy just to be on fire for you and then get off, and maybe our wires get disconnected, or maybe we got some bad gas or some bad oil or something. So, Lord, we just pray that you would just speak to us this morning. And I want you to put your hand on your heart. Say, God, speak to me. You know I need help. You know what I need. You made this engine. You know exactly what I need. Okay? Stretch your hand out to your neighbor and say, Lord, I know that guy needs help. He's weird. I know my husband, my wife, they need help. I don't understand their engine, but you understand their engine. And now stretch your hand out to me and say, Lord, this guy's really weird. If you can speak through a donkey, you can speak through this guy, all right? In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So we are called to stand firm in the last days. Not just to stand, but to be a light, to be a force. You know, the great news about everything, when we were worshiping, I was thinking about this. I felt like the Lord just downloaded this word. He said, the darker it gets out there, the brighter it's going to get in here. Do you want to be in the darkness or do you want to be in the light? Because it's going to get brighter. You know, every time we see a problem out there, we can expect a miracle in here. That's why the word says, do not forsake the assembling of yourself together. You know, and all the more as you see the day approaching, because we've got to get together and share the light. You know, you got to take your match and light another match, and you see somebody's light growing dim, Jeff's light's growing dim, or Keith's light's growing dim, you got to give them a match. My light's growing dim. You know, Keith said, we're neighbors. We get to see each other. You know, we know what's going on, right? So we hold each other accountable. But we encourage one another. We lift each other up. So the question is, let me back up just a minute. God, here's the good news. God never asks you to give something that He hasn't already given you. He never asks you to give anything that he doesn't already give you. The question is, have you received it? The title of the message today, and if the screen was working, you'd look at the back there. Because Pastor Bob did a great job of putting these slides together, so I want to give him credit. So he took my notes and he put this, you know, he worked real hard to put this slideshow together. It's really cool. So it's got a guy back there and it's got his empty pocket opening up. I know what it feels like because we just had two weddings this last year. So it's like, so he says, so the title of the message is, you can't give what you ain't got, okay? That's the title of the message. So I'm just going to demonstrate what's in the clip back there. It said, you can't give what you ain't got. So the first question is, do you got it? Turn to your neighbor and say, do you got it? Do you got it? And say, what is it? What is the it we're talking about? All right. Here's the test of whether or not you got it or not. And it is the full extent of his love. When I first started writing this sermon out, it was actually called The Full Extent of His Love. And actually, it was about a month, it was just a month ago, that I was reading a scripture about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And it said, and I had never caught this before, and it said, now having done all things and taught them all things, he began to show them the full extent of his love when he started to wash their feet. So I want to ask you this morning, if Jesus were to show up this morning and say, I need to wash your feet, would you let him? Or would you be like Peter said, no, you don't need to wash me. I need to wash for your feet, Jesus. I need to do for you, Jesus. And Jesus, what did Jesus tell Peter? Unless you let me wash you, you have no part with me. Okay? So God is actually saving. He's saying that we're not receiving enough. We're not getting the full extent of his love. And that's good news, right? Good news that God's not saying, I want you to do more. You're going to do more, but until you receive it, you can't give it. So here's the test. So who's the Trinity, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let me ask you a question. Who do you relate to? The Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit? Very few people I know, I've been a Christian over 30 years, have really, really good relationships with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. How many of you would say, I can relate to the Father? When I pray, I talk to the Father. Let me see a show of hands. How many of you say, I talk to Jesus? Okay. How many of you say, I talk to the Holy Spirit? Okay. It's about even. Okay. Some of you, you know, been a Christian a long time. I saw Joe back there. He's been a Christian 137 years, I think. So he probably relates to the... Sorry, Joe. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, I'm just... As part of my testimony this morning, we're going to talk about how John got it, how I didn't get it, and how we did it. But I'm going to tell you, I didn't relate to Jesus till a couple of years ago. And it's really, really ramped up my relationship and my joy and my freedom. So you may have a relationship with one of those, and God's wanting you to have the full extent of the relationship of every part of the Trinity. The Trinity is the family. The Trinity is the family of God. Okay? So you may relate to one, but not the other two. You may relate to two, but not the other three, and you're not giving the full extent. So here's a little test for you. Can you picture the Trinity, and on your worst day, that the Heavenly Father is singing over you? Is that a foreign concept? That the Heavenly Father is singing you? And Zephaniah says he delights over you with singing? So that might be a wire that's got disconnected. The second one, the Son dotes over you. Do you think of Jesus as your bridegroom and you're the bride of Christ and he dotes over you? And the Holy Spirit hovers over you. Do you picture, do you feel sometimes the Holy Spirit? says the Holy Spirit is the comforter, right? What do you do with a comforter? You wrap it around you, right? You don't hold it from a distance, say, oh, that's the comforter over there, you know. You don't leave your comforter folded up over in the corner, right? So can you say that you hear the Father singing over you on your worst day? That Jesus, as your husband, dotes over you and the Holy Spirit hovers over you? So if you can't, maybe you need some wires to be reconnected. So I want to hope that that happens this morning. So if you brought your Bibles, turn to John, 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, and then we're also going to look at the Gospel of John. And unfortunately, we don't have these up here, so good news is I can kind of go crazy on my notes and don't really have to follow the lesson up here, so that's the good news for me. But just so you know, and it took me a while to figure this out after I became a Christian, who wrote the book of John? Who wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John? And then who was the John that both wrote the book of Revelation? Okay, because I always thought, well, surely John the Baptist is in there, and maybe John the brother of Jesus or whatever. But it's all the same John. There's just one John, the Apostle John, that wrote the book of the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and he wrote the book of Revelation. Okay, so just one John that's the author. So next to Peter and Paul, he wrote most of the books, more than any books of in the New Testament. All right, so we're going to look at his life, because here's point number one if you're taking notes. So John got it. For some reason, John got it, and he got it early. He got it early in life. He referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Who does that? Mark didn't do it. Luke didn't do it. Matthew didn't do it. John writes a gospel and he says, this is John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. I'm John's favorite. I'm Jesus' favorite, right? Was he bragging? He could have been. You remember in the part where he writes about him and Peter racing to the tomb after Jesus resurrected? What does he say? I got there just ahead of Peter did. I ran a little bit faster than Peter did. I'm sure they're up in heaven still arguing about it. Peter's like, you cheated, man. I said, ready, set, go. You left on ready, you know. So, but he says, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. It says he reclined at Jesus' breast. The other disciples didn't say that. But what happened when Jesus came to wash the disciples' feet? Here's Peter going, not me. I guarantee you, John was, I'm next. He kicked his sandals off. He's ready. I'm getting everything Jesus has for me. Jesus, while you're at it, why don't you rub my shoulders? I got a knot back there. And we think it's selfish, but here's what we know about John. John lived the longest. Okay, he survived another 50 or 60 years. He didn't even write the Gospel of John or the book 1st, 2nd, 3rd John or Revelation for about 50 years after Jesus had died. Okay, so a lot of us here, we carry around kind of the ministry of John. How many of you have been a Christian for 2 decades or more? Okay, Joel's been like 12 decades he's been a Christian. All right, so yeah, we didn't want to be one of those early Christians that died an early death in persecution. But I tell you what, it's hard to follow the Lord for 30 or 40 or 50 years. You go through a lot of seasons. And you go through a lot of times where you don't feel God. You don't see God. You wonder if you missed it. And it's hard to keep the faith sometimes. But it started with John because he got it early. He knew that Jesus loved him. He knew that Jesus was concerned more about relationship with him than keeping the rules. So if you look at 1 John 3:16, it's kind of funny because this sounds a lot like John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 sounds a whole lot like John 3:16. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. And He knows everything. Say, He knows everything. Some of you ladies might be like my wife said, I knew I married Mr. Right, I just didn't know his first name was always. But He knows everything. Who else that you know in John, the book of Gospel of John, John chapter 4 said, come see the man who told me everything I ever did. The woman at the well. One of my favorite stories because, and you don't have it up here, so we're not going to read all the way through it. But what happens is this Samaritan woman living in sin, you know, without God, kind of has a form of religion but has a past, and she comes to the well, and here's this Jewish man, and he asks her for a drink of water. And she says, well, why are you speaking to me? Because Jews don't talk to Samaritans. We're unclean, and you don't even have anything to draw with. So he asks her for a drink, and that's when Jesus said, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink, and the water I give you will cause you never to thirst again. And she said, I want that water. And it started this religious conversation. Have you ever tried to witness to somebody and you want to talk about Jesus, and as soon as you start talking about it, they get into religion? Like how many times they go to church or how many times they pray. I remember asking a guy one time in my office back when I was pastoring, and I said, how are you doing, you know, relationship with God? Well, I'm not praying like I should, and I'm not reading my Bible like I should, and I'm not going to church like I should. And I said, I said, how are we saved? He says, well, I guess by reading your Bible and going to church and praying. I said, so according to how you think you should be saved, you're not saved. He said, yeah, I guess you're right. I said, no, it's believing that Jesus died for your sins and He loves you. That's it, right? So he starts his conversation with this woman, and she says, my ancestors worshipped on this mountain. And he said, when the Messiah comes, she mentions the Messiah, he will reveal all things to us, okay? And so he says, well, right before that, he said, why don't you go get your husband? She says, I don't have a husband. He says, the truth is you've had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband. So she says, oh, I can see that you're a prophet, right? So, and what we believe happened was he actually spent a lot of time with her, and he read her whole life story. Because we know that because later on she runs and tells everybody in the town, come see the man who told me everything I ever did. All we see is that he said you had five husbands, you know, and these are relationships you've gone through. But he said, come see the man who told me everything I ever did. So what happened in that moment is that it went from rules to relationship. It went from religion to actual relationship. It went to legalism. It went to passion versus legalism, right? All of a sudden, what she thought she knew in her mind about God, she actually knew. And she knew the God that actually knew her. So I wrote this a while back because what happens over time is we start forming a religion. Everybody does it, okay? We meet Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And He's forgiven us of our sins, and His love is so much greater than our sin. But after a while, we start thinking, well, you know, I'm not doing the things that I used to do, and what can I do to get back, and when was it, what scripture was it that God used to save me? And we start saying, I'm not praying enough, and I'm not reading my Bible enough, and I'm not witnessing, and then guilt and shame and condemnation and all these things start coming in. But that's where we start forming religion. because we start saying, I'm going to do the same thing I did before. I'm going to stand like I did before. I'm going to sing the same songs that I did before. Or that somebody else did, right? And so you start developing this equation in your mind that if I do these things, then I'm going to get back in God's graces. And he's going to love me like he loved me before. He never left you. He never left you. We started adding to the equation in our mind, okay? I talk to people all the time. I was trying to witness to a Mormon at the gym, and I said, you know, gift of God, the gracious gift of God, you know, it's a free gift for us, and he just could not get that it was a free gift. You have to earn it. In fact, he told me, he said, you can't know that you're saved until you die. And I said, yes, you can. I said, it is a free gift. And here's this was his equation. If you knew you were already saved, then you would go out and do whatever you wanted to do. Is that relationship or is that religion? I said, if you could say that you're married, but if you lived a life going, well, I can't go do this and I can't go that and I got to go home to this mean old lady, would you really be married? Well, he couldn't get that concept. But the woman got it, okay? So I wrote this little devotional. I'm going to read to you. I wrote this a couple of weeks ago. And it went like this. It said, I guarantee you that within a year of the woman getting saved, someone started this church called the Samaritan Church of the Gracious Waters of the Woman at the Well. They probably researched and found out just where she was standing when she met Jesus, what she was wearing, what exactly did she say, what was it about her that was the key to the formula that made Jesus choose her. That's just what we do as humans, and that's where our religion comes from and our denominations. God met me here, singing this song, wearing these clothes, during this service in this town at this time. So God must approve of this. Then the Samaritan woman would come back and find it and say, you guys want to start a church? Okay. You can say what you want to wear and where when you want to meet and what songs to sing, but this is the formula to start with. Live alone with your mom because your dad ran off with another woman. Watch your mom die of a broken heart. Get passed around from relative to relative. Feel alive for the first time when you discover men who like you. Then die again and again as they love and leave you one by one. Spend a lot of time by yourself because no group or religion wants you. Most of the days are spent wanting to die with no hope. Then come to this well. Look at the rope hanging down the well. Picture yourself hanging by that rope. No more pain, no more rejection, no more darkness. Reach for the rope. Then hopefully a Jewish man asks you for a drink. And then you find God. God chose us and loves us because he is love, not us. This is the it that John got. What we know about John is John went on to write not only 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, but he wrote the book of Revelation. God entrusted him with the greatest revelation of the end times. The greatest revelation of the end times. And history tells us that John was actually boiled in oil twice. Literally boiled in oil without harm. And then another time, another ruler heard about it and they said he gave him poison to drink and he didn't die. So God said, something must be wrong with the poison. He got a common criminal. They brought him in, gave him the poison. He died. What did John do? Brought him back to life. How many of you want to see miracles like that? How many of you want to be just more than standing when Jesus comes back? You want to be shining, right? That'd be pretty awesome to be boiled in oil but not harmed. How many of you are being boiled in oil at work? How many of you being boiled in oil in your marriage? How many of you being boiled in oil by the pressures of life and the politics and COVID and everything that's going on? Here's what he says. I promise you, you won't be harmed. If you stick close to me, I promise you, you will not be harmed. That's a pretty good promise. I'm going to give you if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you three or four quick things to write down. I told you that I didn't get it for a long time. About 3 years ago, I was sitting, picturing myself talking with Jesus, because Jesus was the one I was having a hard time relating to. God the Father, I got the Holy Spirit, experiences with the Holy Spirit. For some reason, people talked about Jesus, and I just thought they were kind of strange talking about Jesus. I thought, well, Jesus has died for my sins. He's up there sitting at the right hand of God, you know. I like the little kid in Sunday school. He goes, "Teacher, I know how God made the earth." She said, "Oh, really? I want to hear this. How did God make the earth?" "He made it with his left hand." "Well, how do you know that?" Because the Bible says Jesus was sitting on his right hand, so he made it with his left hand. But I pictured Jesus up there sitting at the right hand of God interceding for me. And so I just wasn't relating to him, but I read this book, and for some reason it let me relate to Jesus. So I would sit Jesus down in my quiet time and talk to Jesus. First thing he told me was, "You do not yet know the full extent of my love for you." I mean, after 30-something years, I thought he was going to say, "Go on missions," or "Go, you know, give all your money to the poor," or "Go shopping more with your wife," or something. And I was like, he said, "You still do not know the full extent of my love for you." So I started posturing myself to receive, and I'm just telling you, it opened up a whole new season in my life. So how do we get it? Number one, accept that Jesus is the only way. It's all about Jesus. Don't add to the gospel. Don't add to it. It's not Jesus plus this church. It's not Jesus plus your discipline. And it's not Jesus minus something else. It's just Jesus. Okay? And we all do it. Everybody does it. When I was studying church history in seminary, and you would study how churches split over things like, do we wear ties or buttons? Denominations would split over things like that. I literally, halfway through church history, I was literally like, are we still talking about Christianity? Because you forget you're even talking about Christianity. But how many of us do the same thing? Do you think God would approve of this? Do you think God would approve of that? And we think it affects our relationship with God. Look, God already took care of sin, right? He's not obsessed with sin anymore. That's something I heard a long time ago. He's not obsessed with sin anymore. We're obsessed with it. Did we do it? Did we not do it? How do we keep from doing it? How do we hide it? How do we what? He's not obsessed. He already took care of it, that part of the relationship. So here's the second thing. It's humbly admit that you can't give what you haven't received. All right? Humbly admit you can't give what you haven't received. I want to do this real quick, because I'm running out of time. How many of you like candy, especially in church? Anybody like M&Ms? Tim? All right. How about Almond Joy? Oh, way back there. Don't know if I can get it to you. We need a healing back there on aisle 16. Reese's? There you go, Ed. She tried to intercept your Reese's, Ed. Kit Kat. Who likes the Kit Kat? Oh, way back there. I'll try this. Sorry about that. Corey, you like candy? All right. Come on up, Corey. Corey, he really likes candy. Come on, Corey. Hold your arms out. All right. Put them together. All right. Lord says, press down, shaking together. Am I going to pour into your lap? All right. Okay. All right. Now. I'm sorry. You didn't hold your hands together. Your biceps are too big. All right. Now, who wants Corey to come sit next to him? Anybody? All right. All right. How many of you asked Corey to come sit next to you before the service? But now you want. All right. Corey's going to get in the back with the candy. All right. So, press down, shaking together, he will pour into your bosom, the word says, right? You can't give what you haven't received. Okay? Come to the Lord and let him give to you so you have something to give. Here's the third thing. Accept that you are the bride of Christ. That's a new concept for us, especially men. I just finished a season of three weddings. We had all three of my kids got married in the last 3 years. I had two last year. Okay? I saw the joy of the bridegroom. In fact, I had pictures I was going to show you up here of my son when his wife came walking down the aisle. He just lost it. Oh, yeah. It's way back there if you could see it. Okay? Now, he looks just like his dad 30-something years ago who lost it when my wife came down the aisle. And then guess what happened when my other son was standing there and his bride comes? He lost it. And then in August, my daughter comes down the aisle. You can see the picture right back there. And if you could see it close up, my son-in-law lost it. All four of us, we're coming from a big, long line of crybabies. Yeah, come on out. But do you know that that's how God sees you? Jesus sees you as his bride. On your worst day, he just looks at you like you're the most beautiful thing that ever happened. Ever happened. I mean, he can't even contain the love that he has for you. Some of you are thinking, and I thought about this picture. What if my son had been waiting for 4 years to get married? And he sees his bride come in. He says, oh boy, wedding night. And she says, you know, I would like to, but my dress got a little wrinkled. And my mascara is running, and I just don't feel worthy. What do you think he would feel? We do the same thing with God. You walked in here this morning, you're thinking, I'm wrinkled. My mascara is running. I mean, you should have seen what I did last week. I mean, I had to fire somebody. And guy in men's group, well, you did it in love, didn't you? And I said, no, I didn't. It was ugly. Doesn't affect how he feels about me. I'm his bride. I want to pray over you, so just close your eyes. What do you hear God saying to you? I see a lot of tears. What are the wires that got crossed? Just picture yourself at the woman at the well, maybe the prodigal son, maybe Zacchaeus the tax collector, maybe Peter after he denied Jesus, he went back to fishing and caught nothing, and Jesus just waiting on the shore to feed him and say, I love you. I really feel confirmation that what the Lord's been putting on my heart is true for a lot of you, that it's you're thinking you have to do more, but you really need to receive more. You've had religion, you've had bad examples of fathers, so you have a hard time picturing a good father. Lord, we just ask that you would come right now and just speak to us, Lord. Holy Spirit, you know everybody's engine. You created them. You know what wires are working and what wires are crossed, Lord. Your word says take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, Lord. So if we have a thought that is an unloving thought towards ourselves, get rid of that. Just get rid of it. That's not God. Picture God singing over you. Rejoicing over you. Picture Jesus doting over you like my sons with their brides. So excited. Picture the Holy Spirit just like a good mother, a good comforter, a good counselor. Just can't wait for you to wake up every day and teach you something new and guide you and show you something new. I want to ask this question. Is there anybody here, you never have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Not only the fact that he died for your sins, but he loves you and has an amazing plan for your life, but you've been running from that. How many of you, is there anybody here that would say, that's me, and I want to change this morning. I want to give my life to the Lord this morning. I want his plan for my life. Just while we keep our eyes closed, just lift your hand up if that's you. You say, I want to give God a chance. I see that hand. I want to give God the chance. I want to make him first. I've done it my way. Now, how many of you here would say, my wires got crossed. I've been living on fumes. I've been knowing what I need to do, but I can't do it. And you know you got to receive more. I just want you to just hold your arms out, just like in a posture of just receiving more of God's love. Maybe God will speak to you what he spoke to me. You don't yet know the full extent of my love for you. You do not yet know the full extent of my love for you. And ask God to take you into a season of receiving everything that he has for you. Take that burden, that heavy yoke, and that heavy burden off of you, that religious burden, that legalistic burden that says I have to do more. And just say, God, I want to receive more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just continue to receive. Do we have any time to do any song or do we need to dismiss? Okay. We're going to enter into worship, and we just have a couple of minutes before we're done. I just want you to stay in that posture of receiving from the Lord. This is a very special time for some of you, a life-changing time. Again, I see lots of tears, I see lots of Kleenex, and I just feel like God is doing something right now. So let's just move into worship for a few minutes. If you need to go early, feel free to go, but let's just stay in an attitude of worship. On front here, if anybody would like to pray, if anybody from the prayer team would like to come down front, then we're going to have a time of ministry.